I'm just sitting in your chair on the stage. I didn't realize all my mouth was in trouble.
Okay. Oh no, we should be fine. Yeah. Maybe we'll get you. We can get out of here in an hour. You can have a quick lunch.
But yes.
Okay, we'll reconvene the board meeting. We'll go to item 3, which is executive reports. Paul?
Good morning, President Sullivan, member of the board. My written reports included, and I'll just be very brief this morning, two items I want to highlight very briefly. One, as you recall, last March we put in a grant application to the state for Proposition 1 funding. A request for $36 million for a pump and treatment project in proximity to the March Air Reserve Base and the Paris Mill Basin. We did receive a feedback informally from the State Board staff that they will be issuing an award letter by the end of the month with conditions. Of course, we don't know how much is in that request. Based on the amount of money we do get from the state, we will be coming back to the board with alternatives for implementing that project or phasing that project. But it does appear that we are going to receive some funding through that program. Second, also on the federal side, federal funding authorization for our South Paris Desalination Program, we have an existing authorization with the federal government for $25 million. For capital funding for the desalination facilities through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Because of the construction we've done and the success we've had in that program, the wells, pipelines, and treatment facilities, we've used up the majority of that authorization. We have $4 million left. And so we put in a request to the federal government through the Corps of Engineers for a modification to that authorization. That has to be considered by the Corps, both at the Los Angeles District of the South Pacific Division and headquarters. Earlier in the week, the Corps issued its 2019 report to Congress on future WRDA projects or Water Resource Development Act projects. And in that, they included a recommendation to increase our authorization by another $25 million. So it would up our authorization from $25 to $50 million for desalting-related activities. So that can include expansion of the existing desalting wells and conveyance facilities, as well as brine recovery and some of the other projects that we've been looking at. So that's very good news. It's a step in multiple steps, and so the next action on this will be to have that $25 million that's included in the annual report from the Corps included in the next Water Resources Development Act bill. That measure is likely going to be taken up by Congress in early 2020. They will start having hearings this fall, and we will participate, obviously, in that. And then we'll be also working with our congressional delegation to get a letter of support that we can convey to the committees of jurisdiction requesting this modification to our authorization and the additional $25 million. But this was a very significant first step, and we're really enthusiastic about increasing that authorization for the desalination program. Anyway, there's other items, but given the time, that concludes my report. Any questions?
No, I want to thank you and Jolene and Joe Mawad. Getting that additional $25 million is a big step. A lot of people don't get that. And it doesn't hurt to have the chief of staff at the Army Corps of Engineers be a proponent of EMWD. So it's always nice to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Laura. Laura Zamora, do you have anything to add?
No.
Or report?
No, not today.
Nick?
You know, I'd like to just take a very brief moment to give you a quick update on a significant project that's going on right beneath our noses here, and it's the lab renovation project. Probably not aware of it because it's a project that's going extremely well. Toby Schultz is the contractor, and we're impressed with their efforts to really isolate the project and make sure that they minimize any impact and inconvenience to ongoing operations here at the facility. It's a $2.8 million construction contract. They're well underway. They've completed all the demolition of the old lab, and they're taking care of a lot of the building infrastructure improvements, such as the mechanical and the HVAC. So it's a project that's going extremely well. As I said, you walk past the old lab, they built a temporary wall that looks like a very permanent wall to isolate their work from us. So it's being managed very well, and I just wanted to give you that update. If you've been wondering what's going on with the lab project, is happening. The height of activity, you just don't see it.
Thank you.
Okay. No,
who's
here? Thank you.
Okay.
I just had real briefly, particularly for breakfast last night, we had a leak on a Day Street sewage lift station floor, so it was a very small leak, like very, very small. And I'm just barely detectable at the surface. It was a challenging repair. Took a few days to get the repair done, waiting for a special plant repair device to come in that was ordered. So that's all been done, but there is some landscaping that we're coordinating with the city to repair, should you hear anything. We're actively working with the city to put that back to their specifications.
This is Day and Eucalyptus?
Day Street, a little farther east of there, closer to the Marina.
All right. I just wanted to mention one thing. I got a number of accolades, one from on the email, but also at another event I was at. And kudos go to April and to Alan for there's an event down here at the swim club when during the day, the first day it was 107 out here, and they ask for the EMWD portable water fountain that out there, and it was very quick and it was very much appreciated for all the kids. And then the next day it was 103, and they called again and asked if they could use that again, and was wheeled down real quick. So I just want to let you know that people are very appreciative for what Alan does and for what you did, and it was a great service to the community and all the kids out there that day. Okay. With that, we'll accept a motion in the second for approval of items 4A through 4M.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We'll go to agenda item 5A, which is adopt proposed resolution to authorize application to the State Water Resources Control Board Clean Water State Revolving Fund, Small Community Water Wastewater Grant Program for the Quail Valley Subarea 4 Septic to Sewer System Conversion Planning Study.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As you know, we continue to partner with the State Water Resources Control Board for external funding, in this case, external funding for the residents of the Quail Valley community. 5 years ago, we applied and were awarded $500,000 for a planning grant for Subarea 9. We're eligible to reapply every 5 years, so on cue, we're requesting the board to authorize this grant application for another $500,000 planning grant through the State Water Resource Control Board. This planning grant would be focused on Subarea 4, roughly a mile to the north. We call it the grid. This is a very high-dense area of Quail Valley, very rocky terrain, very narrow streets. A very challenging solution for a septic sewer project. But as a requirement of funding, we request the board authorization to submit the application.
Okay.
Take any questions, board staff.
Any questions?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We'll go to 5B, adopt proposed resolution approving and authorizing the general and specific project budgets of the Santa Ana Watershed Project Authority for fiscal years ending 2020 and 2021 which provides for EMWD's recommended annual contribution in the amount of $305,393 and $306,608, respectively.
And if I may, Director Sullivan, so this item is something that we've been reviewing for quite some time. SAPA has had a couple budget workshops similar to us. Laura and I have attended that, and Nick's been participating, reviewing their budgets, had a lot of good dialogue with their executive team, understanding the way that they've constructed their budget. We think they've done a very good job in detailing and sharing with us what are their costs, their drivers. They are making the recommendations of these contributions for the next 2 years in their biannual cycle. We think it's fair and reasonable relative to all the members' contributions and the benefits we're receiving from SAPA as a group. They did, however, have another meeting to talk about pending charges from the Orange County Sanitation District for future brine discharge. At that time, this information came out after the budget had been discussed at SAPA. So those increases that Orange County is trying to pass on to upstream agencies was something that was debated at the SAPA board. Decided that instead of passing on that cost this year, they would take funds from their funds from their reserves and be able to use that to buffer any rate increase. So we anticipate that there will be future discussions in the next budget cycle next year, and we'll be keeping close tabs on that and monitoring discussions with Orange County Sanitation. As we get to know about more recommendations, we've come back to the board to see if there's any adjustments required because of any pass-throughs from the Orange County rate increases. So with that, this year, no increases with the rates relative to the original proposals. Because of that, they are just recommending these contributions, and staff's recommending to answer any questions.
Any questions?
I'll move approval.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Go to item 5C, approve and authorize participation agreement with the Paris Union High School District for the Wickard Road Sewer Replacement Project.
All right. First, I'd like to introduce Hector Gonzalez and Greg Good. They're with the Paris Unified High School District. They're in the audience today. And by way of background, the Paris Union High School District is currently under construction with their fourth high school. It's called Liberty High School. And they're leading some area development. And, leading some development in the Manatee area here, and they're in the blue showing up on the map here. right behind them is the La Ventana branch development. They're currently in the final engineering phases for a project that's residential adjacent to the school, and both the developer and the school district are partnering with some local area sewer improvements that include an interim lift station and a horse main, which is shown by the orange line on the map. And during the district's plan of service activities for this area, we identified the need to upsize the existing 12-inch sewer at Wickard Road, which is shown on the map by the green line, and that's between Mira and Medley Road. The district has agreed to lead that project effort, which is the basis of the agreement and the request today. In terms of the agreement, there's really two main points. The first is the Paris Unified High School District is agreeing to provide a fixed cost payment just under $1.6 million to the district. The agreement terms identify two progress payments. The first one would be due upon the receipt of their state funding for the school. And my understanding is that's relatively near term. And the second payment of the balance would be upon EMWD's completion of the plans and specs, or 18 months, whichever is sooner. And the second main point is that the district would lead all these project activities with that funding, which would include CEQA, right-of-way and permitting, design, the plans and specs, construction, and contract administration. With this arrangement, the district would be in total control of the schedule of this project as the area develops. In the board packet, there's the
breakdown of the fixed cost for this project. And just before the recommendation, on June 3rd, the Paris Union High School District Board has reviewed and approved this this agreement, and that is something that is And with that, the recommendation is to approve and authorize the execution of a participation agreement with the Paris Union High School District to fund the Lickerville Sewer Replacement Project. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
No, I'm fine with it. Also, along with this goes a lift station, which is pretty schedule sensitive, I would guess.
That is true, and that is something that the adjacent developer is leading.
Okay.
So, all right. Everything is on track for the fall 2020.
Yes. The next op in engineering, can we just go over what we're going to do with the line that's going to come from Skinner? Because pretty soon, I don't know if we're going to go down Leon Road or not, but they're moving forward, and I'd hate to dig up a new road if we have to place something in for that.
Are you meaning
for the right of way? No, from the. We're going to put in another line coming from Skinner going
north. Oh, south. I'm sorry.
M11.
Yes.
So yeah, we can just so that we're. If we have to go in Leon Road now, we probably should be doing something because the high school's moving along real quick.
Okay.
Corey, thank you.
Yeah, so we'll come back with a little update on that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Misunderstood.
No, no problem.
I think we need a board vote.
Yeah, we need a motion and a second for item number C.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Agenda item D, which is adopt the California Environmental Quality Act determination for the San Jacinto Valley Raw Water Conveyance Facilities Project, Phase 1.
I'd like to introduce Joe Brohead. Joe's our principal water resource specialist responsible for CEQA, is a new hire with the district. We're very pleased to have him here, and he'll be giving the presentation today.
Thank you very much. President Sullivan, members of the board, the item before you is the adoption of the initial study mitigated negative declaration for the San Jacinto Valley Raw Water Conveyance Facilities Project. The Raw Water Conveyance Project is an element of the Enhanced Recycle and Recovery Program, or ERRP, which was approved by the district's board in 2018. The project, when completed, will provide increased capacity for imported raw water to be delivered to the Mountain Avenue recharge sites. The project site is located on and near the border of the city of San Jacinto, which is located to the north, and the city of Hemet, which is located to the south. The project features consist of a service connection to the Metropolitan Water District's Inland Feeder System East Side Pipeline, or EM25, and that would be located at the northeast corner of Esplanade Avenue and Warren Road. It would also be a construction of a flow control facility and a chlorination treatment facility on a 3-acre piece of property adjacent to the service connection. And then lastly, a 2.5-mile, 60-inch diameter transmission pipeline from the MWD facility to EMWD's Hemet Water Treatment Facility would be constructed. The next two slides show representative photos of the project site from various locations along the project alignment. The first one is that 3-acre parcel that would be will house the flow control facility and the chlorination treatment facility on the 3-acre parcel next to the service connection. The next photo shows a shot of Esplanade further eastward along the alignment. The next photo shows a northerly view of Sanderson Avenue at the intersection of Commonwealth Avenue. And then the final photo shows a shot westerly along Commonwealth Avenue towards the intersection of Sanderson Avenue. During the CEQA process, the district prepared an initial study, mitigated negative declaration that evaluated and disclosed the environmental effects of the project. And during this period, we also consulted with area tribes pursuant to AB 52 consultation requirements, seeking their input concerning the potential to encounter sensitive tribal resources within the project area. Once the document was completed, we had a notice of intent to adopt a mitigated negative declaration published in the Press Enterprise on April 11th. We also made copies of the document available on the district's website, at the district office, and at the San Jacinto Public Library and Hemet Public Library. The 30-day public review period ran from April 12th to May 13th of this year. And at the end of the comment period, we received three comment letters. And after the close of the comment period, we received one additional comment letter. District staff responded to each of these comment letters, and they're included with the comment letters in the final initial study, mitigated negative declaration, and it should be in the packet before you today. None of the comments provided changed any of the findings in the initial study mitigated NAFE deck that we sent out for public review. We also identified mitigation measures that would ensure that project construction and operation would have a less than significant impact. And mitigation measures in the document were identified for each of these issues on the slide. Those mitigation measures were incorporated into a mitigation monitoring and reporting program. And that MMRP, mitigation monitoring reporting program, is included in the packet as well. With that, staff is recommending that the board adopt the initial study, mitigated negative declaration, adopt a mitigation monitoring and reporting program that was prepared, and then direct staff to approve the filing of the notice of determination and file the environmental filing fee for the project. I'm here to answer any questions you may have. We also have Jennifer Zinn, contract CEQA consultant who worked on the project. Thank you.
Okay, got any questions?
I don't have any questions.
We'll accept a motion in a second.
I'll move the
Thank
item.
Thank you, Joe.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay, let's go to agenda item 6, which is the Saboba Settlement Water Pre-Delivery. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. Oh, yes. I don't know why. Consideration of a resolution in support of a nominee for a position on the Association of California Water Agencies Region 9 Board.
Thank you, President Sullivan. I'll cover this item. AQUA is currently soliciting candidates for the Region 9 Board. Region 9 generally covers Riverside, San Bernardino, and Imperial counties. And they typically hold quarterly meetings. They get input from the local agencies in the region and help prioritize issues and initiatives of AQUA. The nominating committee has been formed to consider the candidates. There's all 7 Region 9 board positions are up, including chair, vice chair, and 5 board member seats. These are 2-year terms commencing in January in 2020. Eastern has an opportunity to nominate a candidate for the board. One individual can be nominated per agency, and that term, so we have an opportunity to do that. Currently, Joe Kubler represents EMWD on Region 9 Board. His current term ends in 2019. Joe has expressed an interest in continuing. So essentially, the board has 3 options. One, to nominate one of you existing board members to serve on Region 9, 2, to nominate Joe Kubler, or 3, to forego nominating a candidate for the Region 9 board. The reason this is on the agenda today is AQUA needs to have a resolution submitted support by June 28th. and so we need to take action on this at today's meeting. So with that, there's a sample resolution included in your package. Should the board decide to nominate someone, and then we would work with the nominated candidate to complete the candidate nomination form. Mr. Kubler has already submitted that in case the board does want to go forward with continuing with Joe Kubler. And that concludes my report.
Okay. Open for discussion.
Yes, traditionally, this position has been held by a member of the current board, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So if there's nobody interested on this board, then we can nominate anybody, or?
I think you nominate from your agency.
From our agency.
Correct.
Okay. Is anybody interested on this board?
I'm not.
Well, you know, I don't know. I know that over at this is strictly for the board positions at Aqua, right?
It's the Region 9 board.
Region 9 board. Well, I know that Carolee Brady over at Rancho is putting her name in over there. She's a publicly elected official. I guess it's just up to us whether we want to send somebody up or not.
Bear in mind, each agency can put in a nomination, and they adopt a resolution. Because an agency nominates a certain individual does not guarantee that they'll be put in for one of those positions.
So he's currently on the board, right? He's currently on the board.
On the region board, yes. Yeah, and the Aqua board, too, because he's president of, mm-hmm. of the region. My concern is that even though Joe has been a great representative of Eastern, and I'm sure he will be into the future, I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with the expenses involved, and so I don't have a problem with recommending that this board support Joe for a position on the region board, but I would want to have a conversation with Joe before that to clearly identify what we're comfortable with as far as expenses. If Joe were to end up being the region chair again on behalf of Eastern, then that's a board meeting every other month and two conferences and can get pretty pricey.
Okay.
And so I'm just throwing that out there for the board. If you'd rather not go forward, I'm fine with that too. But if you want to have a put together a support subject to an understanding about expenses, I'd be happy to sit down with Paul and Joe will talk about that.
Just to add a little bit more detail on that, Director Record, Joe would be rotating. As you point out, Joe is currently on the Aqua Board because he's the chair of Region 9. That's right. Kind of the way that works. If he was to be nominated for a Region 9 board seat, he would not be on the Aqua Board anymore. So that expense would be reduced. However, there is still, obviously, the Aqua Conferences, and there would be the Region 9 meetings themselves. Currently, we reimburse Joe only for his direct expenses. He's not compensated separately in any way.
I would support having Joe, and subject to conversation with regards to some of the other expenses. I don't see that, I'm not concerned about the regional board meetings.
Yeah, they're usually locally held.
Yeah, because if it was one of us, we'd be going, and we're just saying he can take our place, we'll pay for expenses only. So no, I support Joe. Joe's nomination.
Yeah, I think Eastern's always had representation on the Region 9 board, so I'm happy with and satisfied with the way Randy would like to approach it. Just to have a discussion with Joe on the expenses. I would hate for us to be not have anybody there. It doesn't mean that we couldn't go, but to a Region 9 event. But we've always been active in Region 9. So.
Yeah. I'd probably add that the fact that Joe is the current chairperson, he's probably respected there and can represent this district.
So, legal counsel, can I make that motion?
Sure. I think what the motion would be to nominate or submit Director Kubler as a nominee, subject to an agreement reached with him and staff as to expense limitations and reimbursement procedures.
It would be an understanding of
can't you make that
motion?
I just want to make sure I could. That's why we have
your ability to make. Your ability to make to nominate him?
No, just if there wasn't a time limitation, we would take this up at the next board meeting. But okay. There is, so I would like to get the board's approval, subject to an agreement on what the commitment on expenses will be.
Right, and if that agreement is not reached, then the nomination will not move forward.
Right.
Correct.
And that agreement would be, would you like to have me sit down with Joe?
Yes. And Randy would be happy to join in, I'm sure.
We will do that. Okay, we would do that. The other part, if direct a record to modify, if you might consider modification, there's also a resolution that needs to be approved. That the board would have to adopt a resolution to go with that, and that would be resolution 2019-72. So right. If you could consider amending that into your motion, that would cover everything that we need.
That's what I intended the motion to be.
Okay.
Thank you for clarification.
Okay.
May I ask a question to further clarify? Because the action we're taking is to put a citizen of our district, our representation, on a board. My concern, and I will probably support this, my concern going forward is we haven't opened this up to any of the public. There may be other people that we don't know about. And I do know there's some time constraints, but it just seems if we're picking someone not represented as one of the elected officials on this board, are there others in our service territory that might have an interest in doing that? That would be my question, and maybe we need to look as an administrative policy to clarify this going forward.
It might be helpful. AQUA does, as part of their criteria, want someone who's associated with the district, who has either a past or present association with the district. So I don't think, to your point, it's kind of open up for someone.
I mean, for a public agency, we haven't advertised this to the public. We haven't said that, they're being on the agenda today, and I'm just curious. There may be others. There may be other former board members in the area from Rancho, from who knows what, other city officials, et cetera, that might be interested in doing something like this. My point is I think going forward we may want to, for future boards, have an administrative policy about how we select an AQUA representative.
Sure. We can look into that.
And that might be something you bring before the admin committee?
So something as simple as each board member shall be able to, sort of nominate somebody to the full board for a nomination to the AQUA region.
I was asking the question. I mean, nobody on this board seems to want to do that, and there is someone that's interested. It was from a sister agency of ours that we provide service to, and so I don't know. It's up to the board.
Make it formal on the board.
Well, I think it would be great to have a policy going forward. It might be difficult to develop that, but I would say that no one else has asked for Eastern's support. No one has asked to represent Eastern, so.
That's a fair point. That is a fair point. Is that so? We have a motion on the table?
I seconded it.
Okay.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
Motion carries with Director Corona voting no.
Okay.
With that, let's go to the Saboba Settlement water pre-deliveries. Brian.
Morning, President Sullivan, members of the board. The tribe has a paramount water right to 9,000 acre feet in the San Jacinto Basin of 9,000 acre feet. And Metropolitan Southeastern, an average of 7,500 acre feet, to ensure that the tribe has the ability to pump the water that they need to. MWD has the right to deliver that water at any time, and they can even pre-deliver up to 40,000 acre feet. Eastern elects to pay MWD for the water at the time of delivery to avoid the escalation of the MET rate. And the tribe has agreed to limit their use of the water to 4,100 acre feet for the first 50 years of the agreement. That unused portion, so that part that the tribe doesn't use, gets assigned to each of the agencies based on the same percentage that they pay for the water. So in other words, Eastern gets 33.7% of the unusable settlement water because we pay that same percentage of the 7,500 acre feet. As of Sunday, May 12th, this is a little outdated, but we had recharged 3,287 acre feet, and so we were approaching completing the deliveries for 2019. We've since completed those deliveries and started pre-delivering. As of last Sunday, we had delivered a total of about 5,400 acre feet, and that includes about 1,300 acre feet of pre-deliveries for 2020. If we keep going at about the same rate, we've estimated how much water would be delivered and who would be responsible for paying for those deliveries for the rest of the calendar year 2019. So we've estimated that the 2020 pre-deliveries, shown here in this column here, that we would complete those deliveries between June and August, so about a three-month period. And then the next three-month period, so September through about November, we would deliver the 2021 pre-deliveries. And then if all goes well, we would have some pre-deliveries of 2022 water in December. So it's broken down by agency, and it's showing the amount, the cost of the commodity of the water and the delivery charge that Eastern puts on that as a cost to pump the water out to the recharge area and to maintain the recharge basins. So, again, it's broken down by agency, and it's shown separately for 2019-2020 in the blue columns, and then the 2021 and 22 are shown in green there. So this information was presented at TAC to the other agencies, and we provided three options to the agencies. The obvious one is that each of the agencies budgets for the deliveries and then pays us when we invoice them. An alternative, if any of the agencies didn't have the money to pay for the pre-deliveries, would be for those agencies to sell carryover credits to Eastern in an amount equal to those to the credits that they would get. And Eastern would pay the money for that, and basically they wouldn't have to pay for those pre-deliveries. We also came up with another alternative that we presented, and that is one that we presented to the city of San Jacinto, which would allow us to, if the city agrees, to defer invoicing the city for the pre-deliveries and to defer that until they can budget for the money, invoice them at that time at what would be the higher MET rate. So in other words, we wouldn't be penalizing them, but they would be paying for it at a later date, which was one thing they had indicated that they wanted to know if we would extend that to them. We met with the city of San Jacinto. Well, let me first say, the other two agencies, City of Hemet and Lake Hemet, indicated that they have sufficient funds budgeted so that they can pay for all the pre-deliveries in 2019.
City of San Jacinto indicated that they didn't think they were going to have the money. So we came up with these options on an approach that they could implement to cover those costs. And so the one option that wasn't presented here, but basically is to defer invoicing the city and allow them to pay an invoice when they do have the money budgeted, but it would be at the higher net rate. So again, it's not a penalty issue. It's just a matter of, you know, we have the ability to defer paying Metropolitan, but when we would pay them, it would be at the higher net rate. So it would be the same offer that would be extended to the city. And so the city is, the city manager indicated that he is taking the option to his city council at their next council meeting and under their budget item.
And he does understand the advantage of them buying the water this year at the lower rate.
Yes.
So and actually appreciated us giving him a number of different options to consider.
And Metropolitan's rates go up on average about 4 or 5% a year. So, you know, that much savings that they would be looking at if they paid it when the deliveries were made.
Any other questions on this? Very good. Thank you, Brian. Okay.
Recycled water in lieu program.
When we get started, we wanted to bring this item to the board. We went to the planning committee also and gave a presentation. It's really to, you know, go over again and kind of remind the board of the recycled water program, what the program's background, what objectives, who participates in the program, the agreements that we have in place. How is the Hammond San Jacinto Water Master involved? They basically were formed after the program was initiated. What the recycled water usage is under the program, the rates that Eastern has paid, and what we've seen as far as groundwater benefits with the program. So this slide basically shows our recycled water use in the upper right. It shows the ag in the program. That's about 14% of our overall recycled water demands. In total, ag is about 70% of our recycled water sales by volume, and the in-lieu portion of that is about 4,560 acre-feet per year. The location of the program is shown in this map in the upper left. These are the properties that currently participate in the ag in-lieu program. Scott Brothers Stadium and two parcels for Rancho Casa Roma. The objectives of the program are fairly clear. There was a seriously declining groundwater basin in this area, so the goal was to reduce overdraft. And one of the considerations was this was in advance of the adjudication. The entire groundwater basin was being overdrafted during that period of time that led to the adjudication. There was a management plan. I'll show you a chart that basically stepped down over a five-year period. Everybody's adjusted base production right out of the groundwater basin to help manage and stabilize the basin, which was falling precipitously. And one of the goals of this program was to substitute recycled water production such that the other agencies didn't have to reduce their adjusted base production rights as much to stabilize the agency. So the original participants in the program prior to the adjudication, and these were the participants who set the program up, were Eastern, Lake Hemet, and the cities of San Jacinto and Hemet. And then subsequently, when the adjudication occurred, the Water Master came in and took responsibilities. The in-lieu program benefits, as I remember, are very significant in terms of the reductions to the adjusted base production rate, but more importantly, to the stabilization of the groundwater basin. This chart shows the adjusted base production rate, and you can see our initial base production at Eastern was over 10,000 acre feet, 10,869. Our 17-18 final adjusted base production rate after the five-year step-down under the management plan is 7,300. Everybody stepped down proportionately. And, of course, this would have been more substantial had we not had the program. So there are a number of agreements that were executed. First, an agreement to set up the program, and then there was a second set of agreements with the actual users. So the setting up the program was a 2007 four-agency agreement with agencies I mentioned, and part of that was to fund the extension of recycled water infrastructure out to those customers. So that was done on a pro rata basis with the percentages that are shown on the chart. In addition, the funding agreement also provided for a subsidy that would make up the difference between the cost for the customers or end users who are being charged for the recycled water and basically what's now EMWD's tertiary recycled water rate. Then it was the secondary rate and a tertiary rate, and we don't have a secondary rate now. So the secondary, if you think of the secondary rate, is really kind of our ag tertiary winter rate. And our the tertiary rate that we reference there is the normal summer tertiary rate. So in 2008, we signed up users on the program. So there's two agreements with Rancho Casa Loma and Scott Brothers. This shows the amount. Rancho Casa Loma is up to 20 acre feet, and Scott Brothers, 3,000. It also included a minimum purchase obligation as well as a maximum purchase obligation. That essentially the users would pay the ag winter rate, our tertiary winter rate, and then Eastern, the difference would be made up by the water master. So monies would be collected by the water master, and Eastern would be paid the full recycled water rate. So this shows the groundwater production. As you can see, there's been a very substantial decline by the in-lieu customers. On the green line is Rancho Casa Loma. They're up around 2,800 acre feet. They're down to about 800 acre feet now. So a 71% reduction. And of course, Scott Brothers up around 1,500 in 2007. Down around 100, they're down around 150 acre feet, so a 90% reduction. So we really focused on getting those users, which are in a very key location, to reduce that use. This chart shows the amount of water that's been produced. The red line on the bottom is their minimum allocation that they take. The line in the middle, the blue line, is the maximum allocation. And then there's an option to go up to an additional amount. But the difference between the blue line in the middle, the 5285 acre feet, and the 8540 acre feet, is that increment of the water can only be taken during the winter months. Again, it helps with our management of our recycled water where we do have surplus supplies during the winter. So this shows the payments that are made to Eastern. Essentially, we receive payments from the water master as well as the users. We're essentially being paid in total the tertiary ag rate. And the groundwater basin benefits are fairly significant. This chart shows the groundwater basin during the period. You can see in 2007, the line on the left when the program started, the basins were in very substantial decline. The program was put in place, and you can see that started to get better through 2012. And I think very notably, we had very little natural and artificial replenishment during the period where it says drought conditions. But we did see a great stabilization of the basin, even during those low replenishment conditions, which was fairly gratifying. We were concerned that we were going to see the basin dropping again. And so I really think it shows the effectiveness of the program in stabilizing the basin. And as we see wetter conditions perhaps return, we are anticipating seeing those groundwater levels go up even further. Very similar story at the Scott Brothers location. Again, going down a little bit during the drought period, but still very stable and on the correct trend. We think that trend is going to swing back up. But again, the idea was to get that basin stabilized. We do a lot of groundwater monitoring in that area. That's what this graphic shows. Each of the dots shows monitoring wells. In total, we have 13 monitoring wells in that area, and we collect a very significant amount of data to monitor the program. All in all, the program's been a very good success. We are kept financially whole on the recycled water sale, The basin benefits through management of those groundwater levels in that very key location. And the end users are also benefiting by having a good recycled water rate and supply to go with that. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
I got a question. On that one graph that showed that BERT was had a blip up in well use, and the Scots continued. Got to go back a little further. There. So they went up, they went down, then they went up, and they went down. Was that? Let's see, 2012. Okay, yeah, so now they're going back up again.
Right.
Is that because they can't get enough reclaimed water, or?
I don't know the answer to that question. I can find that out. So I'll look into Rancho Casaloma's use. It also might be they have well issues or a combination of. So we can take a look at that. Or it might have been their just overall demands, how they're managing their demands. But we can get that.
Because the Scots are like, boom.
Yeah, they were really
down
flat.
And nothing.
Yeah. But we'll try to get a little bit more explanation. Okay. Why that line was weighted a little bit. But I think, importantly, it really dropped certainly from 2007 to 2010 is the most significant portion of that.
I think it could be that Scots are growing their own feed and BERT's got a lot of customers and
going for others.
Well, it could just be that they didn't have the demand for corn 1 year. Or
that's what we need to take. That's a good point. Their demands were
Okay.
As well.
Okay.
Any other questions on this?
Good
report.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. We'll go to the financial operating and capital highlights through the third quarter of fiscal year 2018-19. Charles.
Thank you. I know we've had a robust discussion about our budgets and our financials, so I appreciate taking time to go through our third quarter financials. I'm going to go through these a little pretty quickly, just to summarize where we're at. You know, in our budget discussion, we just talked about our forecast for going for Q4. So a lot of these numbers are concurrent through that, and we talked about our recommendations for our margins. So with that, I'll go through these quickly. If you have any questions as I go through, please ask questions. So this is our financial reports, operating reports through July of last year through March 31st. Overall, consolidated enterprise results are very strong. Very favorable operations. Consolidated revenues exceed our budgets by 9%. Expenses below by about 4.6%. Our water service revenue exceeded our budget by 2.7%. And our increase in sales were less than budget by about 0.5%. The area that we'll focus on is our connection fees. We had over 6,000 EDU EMS combined in Q3. About $11.5 million in excess of our budget. So very strong demand for new housing and other connections across service areas and parking lot. Total operating expenses was $135 million and was under budget by 4.8%. And our net operating margin through the first three quarters was enhanced by $33.8 million. Our forecast, again, is to bring it back down that our excess will be around $18 million because we're continuing to have the fourth quarter performance, not as strong as through the first three quarters because we had such a significant change in weather patterns, which generally makes an adjustment to their overall performance when you go to the fourth quarter. So real quickly on our water services, as I mentioned, these key points already, but our end result is our net operating revenues or the additional $4 million from the water side contributed to help fund our capital commitments and other commitments. And we break out the details here in our summaries. We also have a full staff report that breaks out in greater detail by account what is happening with water services. We do have additional purchase water costs. We do have additional carryover credits, though. We just talked about that with the city central for last year and the future years also about that. Going into the wastewater side, average flows 44.5 MGD, higher than budget. We had a very wet winter, and the third quarter showed a lot of additional flows. They're coming closer back to the 43-44 level the fourth quarter. But even with those higher flows, operating costs were below budget by about 11%. and our net operating revenue was $8 million above budget. And $1.6 million above our prior year. So we have additional contributions again, which we'll be using to, a portion of which we'll be using to help fund our contributions and others to fund our reliability projects. And then finally, our recycled water services, 18,800 acre feet sold through the first three quarters. That's 26% below budget. Again, very wet winter. We've seen strong demand return in May and continue to have higher demands now in June. So we saw a very big dip in our demands in the third quarter, but we're starting to see the rebound and coming back to more normal operation for us as we go into a warmer summer. But even with that, we still had strong financial performance. We had to be able to control our operating costs during this period. And our net revenue to fund capital commitments was just $0.3 million below our budget. So still a resilient group, being able to adapt to the change in the flows as well as change in demand. And then finally, G&A. Our G&A expense was $2.7 million, or 8% below budget. We talked about this in our prior quarterly updates, but we have a few key categories, including our safety risk expenditures below budget, lower insurance costs. Engineering is charging additional other time into projects, less of it being charged as a G&A expense. And labor costs are lower due to retirements. You may recall at our breakfast in June, we had a long high-five line this year. I think we had 40-something people to give high-fives to. We've had more retirements, I think, this year than I've ever seen here. That does have an impact on our G&A component. But again, some more management through as we go through the transition. Some other statistics we just wanted to highlight. We continue to have healthy reserves for funding our capital commitments. This is just showing that we have over $300 million dedicated for construction projects. In our CIP, we continue to make over $100 million a year in commitments or funding for our capital resiliency. So we have funds available now to be able to pay for those programs. And we also want to highlight our connection fees. We had, when you combine sewer and water, we had 1,500 new connections in the third quarter. Not our strongest quarter, but it's still a strong quarter overall. But we were at 1,700 last year in the third quarter. The first few quarters, though, of the last year were stronger than this third quarter. So another way of looking at that is in this chart on slide 14. What we're illustrating here is where we were with our budget in our prior year, somewhere around 3,700 or so total sewer EDUs for the year. Through March, we're at 3,500. So we're almost hitting our annual number in the first three quarters. Very strong amount of growth. We're projecting somewhere between, I don't think we're going to get to the 4,600 level, but we're on 4,000. It's probably the likely figure for the fourth quarter. So good continuing growth. Seen a little bit of tapering in the last few weeks. However, still robust relative to our historic norm. So this is really strong. It's meeting all of our budget expectations. This graph on 15 is just showing those numbers by area. So you can see Menifee, Moreno Valley, Temecula constitutes the majority of the connection fee revenue for sewer through the first three quarters. The remainder being in Hemet, Winchester, and the Paris area. And then we have a hard copy for you, Director Sullivan, as well, showing the EDUs.
Yes, I got it. Thank you.
Okay, great. And then in summary, our total sales are around $183 million. It's about $5 million in excess of our budget for the first three quarters, about 2.8% above budget. Our operating costs are being well managed. We're coming in around $7 million under budget, or 4.8%. And our net operating revenue, just from the operations side of fund capital commitments, is coming in at $11.8 million over the projections for the budget. So again, strong figures overall, and our net margins are continuing to help us also make contributions to funding down obligations like OPEC. On the capital side, operating fixed assets, we have made certain expenditures through the first three quarters. They are coming in a little lighter than we anticipated. We've talked a lot about the admin committee about where we're coming in short and that we'd be making adjustments and seeing a lot of deliveries coming in the fourth quarter. We've also fine-tuned our operating fixed asset budget, which we just put into our next two-year biennial budget, and we're making shifts. So we feel we're making some better headway on our expenditures. We're coming in at a lower figure for the next 2 years, our annual requirements. But for this year's budget, we did have $34 million of budget. For the first 3 quarters, we spent $13 million. We will be spending more in the fourth quarter with the kind of backfire numbers, but we won't be coming in at the $34 million level. Where we come in closer to a little beyond the halfway point. And again, the other projects that were in this budget have been rescheduled and put into the following year, which is a part of the budget we just approved. On the capital improvement program side, each mid-year we do a full-blown capital improvement review. So Joe will come to us in the fourth quarter talk about all of these in greater detail. But through the first 3 quarters, I'm pleased to share the total expenditures across the board were at 70% of original budget. So $52 million of capital expenditures for all of our programs compared to a $75 million overall budget. There's projects all over the place. So they're doing a really good job updating our facilities. And you can see here, it's in water, sewer, recycle. All of them are into a lot of progress. So in summary, our consolidated enterprise results have exceeded our budget. Total operating revenue was above the budget by 2.8%. Expenditures lower than target by 4.8%. Water revenue, again, above target. Water purchases lower than budget by 5.6% for the first 3 quarters. And in our wastewater system, revenues performed better than the budget rate by 3.9%. Recycle system revenue was lower than the budget. And in our catch fees are exceeding the budget by 35%. So a really strong area. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions? Okay. Thanks, Charles.
Charles.
With that, we'll go to agenda item 7, which is receive and file and accept a motion and a second for approval of items 7A through 7B.
I'll move the item.
Second.
Then move the second. Is all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Agenda item 8, which is calendar review. Nicole.
She's doing it all today.
She's doing it all today.
Thank you, President Sullivan, members of the board. We have two new items for your consideration today, and flyers are attached at the end of your packet. The district is pleased to once again sponsor the annual Jamil Data Youth Awards in partnership with the Riverside County Workforce Development Board. The event will be held June 28th, which is a Friday, at 6 p.m. at the Moreno Valley Conference Center. Anyone is interested in
something?
Thank you, Director Sullivan.
Yeah, I may be. I'll have to check my calendar.
Thank you, Director Sullivan. And the Urban Water Institute will be holding an annual water conference in San Diego this year, August 14th through the 16th. It's a Wednesday through Friday. And the district is also sponsoring. We will have complimentary registration available.
Can we go down just for one day?
Yes.
I'll probably go for one day.
Thank you, Director Sullivan.
When we get the program, we'll send it out.
Okay.
And moving to page 2, we have the board's upcoming events for the next 2 weeks. I won't go through them line by line in the interest of time, but I would like to just provide a couple of reminders for some upcoming events. Tomorrow is the WRCOG General Assembly. For those board members attending, the agenda has been included in your board packet, along with some attendee information about parking and so on. It's being held at Pechanga tomorrow. And we have Director Colleen Sullivan attending, and then General Manager Jones and Deputy General Manager Nomura will attend as well. On Friday, June 28th, we have the Riverside County Water Task Force Speaker Series at Western at 7:30 a.m. The speakers have been announced, Charlie Wilson of the Southern California Water Coalition and Jonathan Young of CMUA will be the panel speakers, if anyone would like to. Thank you, Director Pauley. Thank you, Director Thompson. Mm-hmm. The upcoming board meetings and board committee meetings are listed. Since our last calendar report, one committee meeting has been rescheduled. That's the August admin committee. That's been moved to August 14th at 7:30 a.m. for Directors Pauley and Sullivan. interagency meetings and upcoming holidays are listed. Are there any questions or additions to the calendar? That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll go to the directors' meetings. Director Corona.
Okay, I attended the RCWD meeting on the 13th. I gave a short presentation and talked a little bit about the Solar Cup and the Solar Cup recognition dinner for the kids. And I had my update with General Manager on Monday.
Okay. Director Polly.
Sure. We met Nick Cause, and Joe and I met with some executives from IDE who were in from Israel. And Nick, I thought that was a pretty good informative meeting. I hope you got something out of it.
Yeah, it was a very good discussion, and they seem to be very satisfied with the information we shared with them. There'll be some follow-up as well.
Very good. I appreciate that. Winchester Municipal Advisory Council, I went and gave kind of a status of water in the area, invited people to our hearing today, and don't know if any of them took us up on it, but I always like to put that out there to community groups. The BIA Legislative Affairs Committee luncheon, Congressman Calvert was the speaker. As usual, he did an outstanding job addressing some both local national issues. He was introduced by President Sullivan here, who did a very nice job of that. CalDSAL Executive Committee teleconference call yesterday. We got an update from one of our members, Cal American Water, on a couple of their desal projects in Northern California. And then finally, on Monday, I was honored at Valleywide Park and Recreation District. Not myself honored, but the district, for the recycled water project that we did in French Valley, connecting a couple of the Shetfield Park, a few other parks, and the fact that we were able to work with them to put restroom facilities in. So they wanted to recognize the district for that, and I will at some point, when I remember to get out of my car, bring our plaque in that we can put out in our showcase. So I appreciate all that.
Okay, with that, MWD meetings, Director Record.
Committee and board meeting, I think the most talked about item was SB1. Very contentious debate, both in committee and at the board. Interestingly, I'm not sure the San Diego delegation really understands the issue, but they're so determined not to offend President Pro Tem Atkins that they don't want to, didn't want an opposed position. But interestingly, they split their vote. Director Hogan's voted in support of what we ended up with was oppose unless amended. A very good presentation by staff about what's wrong with it. So at any rate, we'll see what happens.
Okay, with that, I went to the BIA Director Slauson, I'm sorry. Not the beast line.
We had a Director's Advisory Committee meeting on the 12th, and Kevin with Rhonda's house did a great job. It was well attended.
Okay, with that, I did attend the BIA luncheon, and Calvert always does an excellent job. And also attended the Santa Ana Watershed Project Authority meeting yesterday. Basically, two things. One, we formally appointed Karen Williams as the Deputy General Manager and CFO for the district, or for the agency. Then just had a brief discussion on how we employ other districts or contractors on doing water sampling for what we have to report to Orange County Sand District. Okay, with that, Council, we don't have any reason for closed session today?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay, just one comment I would like to make. I want to thank the board for a really patient deal here. We do this like every 2 years. We have a number of people coming in. The only suggestion that I would have is that, we never mind Steve, we never mind a no vote here. Not ever. Everybody's always able to avoid the vote their conscience. I think the only thing that I would...
creamed on votes here.
No, and I don't want you to feel that way. You know, my only suggestion is, you know, we went through three budget review sessions, and I never heard you talk about anything about reclaimed water. And I only wish you'd have brought those up, you know, when we had those hearings just amongst ourselves. You know, it's an education process for all of us. And I, you know, I think that you could have benefited something from that, and I could have benefited from your comments. But the other part is it makes the audience look like we're not informed because of the questions that perhaps were answered. And so, you know, we never asked for a 5-0 vote here. And there's been many occasions where we've had votes that are opposite of whatever it is, and we don't mind that. It's just that, you know, we do some of these things, updates, so that we can inform ourselves better for what comes up. It may have been a no vote again. I wouldn't have cared, you know. It's just that we do the updates we do the reviews for a reason, and we do like active participation. And so hopefully you'll do that.
It may have been a no vote for me.
It could have been a no vote because Dave's different, you know. No, we're not.
In the spirit of you accepting no votes, I disagree with you.
Yeah.
I just like to say, coming from where I come from, I'm used to probably a little more vigorous debate at board meetings, and you know, anytime you have a question, you know, you can bring it up there, and if staff needs to answer the question, I mean, my attitude is they get paid a lot of money, and if they get asked a question, they need to answer it. You know, I'm not that much about, you know, asking them, you know, at another meeting or something. I like to ask the question here at the board meeting, and you know, with a public present, and you know, it brings up some things, but that's just the way I roll. So.
Good enough. All right. With that, we'll adjourn to the next meeting, July 3rd at 9 a.m.